Hospitality. So there are two walking on the road to Emmaus. That's in our Bible reading. One was named Cleopas. It says that. The other doesn't have a name. Why does the other person have a name? Probably because the other person was a woman. The culture of the time, and for a long time, didn't see women as important enough to be named. Occasionally you got a woman named. For the most part, women are usually referred to as the other one or something like that. Too often today, women are looked upon as the other as well. Cleopas was probably traveling with the person he was married to. And Cleopas was married to Mary. Talked about her on Easter Sunday. She went to Jesus' tomb with Mary Magdalene. She's the other Mary in the story. And she was married to Cleopas. So Cleopas was probably traveling with Mary. So Mary and Cleopas are on the road to Emmaus. Two of them met Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. They just thought he was the only person in the world who didn't know the biggest news ever. And these two, Mary and Cleopas, not knowing who was with them, still did what came naturally. They offered hospitality to a stranger, someone they had no idea who this person was and no idea where they came from, but it must have been from somewhere far away because they didn't know the biggest news ever. But they showed hospitality to a stranger. And I know it was the culture of the Bible to do that, yet still, could have been afraid. They could have wondered if this person was on the wrong side since they had been followers of Jesus. So they offered hospitality to a stranger at their own peril. Something they didn't do. They didn't ask for his immigration status. They didn't ask about his orientation. They didn't ask for his income. Maybe they weren't supposed to do that. And maybe I'm just putting today's culture into there. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't become the bathroom police. They didn't question whether he believed the right things. They didn't take an inventory to be sure he had the same opinions as they did. They told him the story, and they invited him to eat with them. Anybody seen the latest viral marketing by this one's by a beer company, Heineken beer. First, anyone like Heineken beer? You know, there's a new viral. It's about a 4-minute video you can see. Just look for Heineken beer commercial, and two people, and actually there are 6 or 8 people, but they're paired up. Starts off showing videos of people expressing really, really strong opinions one way or the other. And then shows a scene of them being put into a room, a warehouse basically, and they're given a task. First they have to put together a couple of stools, and they help each other put together the stools. And while they're putting together the stools, they get to talk a little bit. There are some questions, basic questions. Tell the other person a little bit about yourself, what are your favorite colors, you know, different things, but they have conversations while they're doing this. And then they get to take these blocks, large blocks, kind of like a game of Tetris, and put them together, and they see that they have built a bar, sort of a corner bar, and they've got two stools and a bar. And then, while they've been talking with one another, they've gotten to know each other, they like each other, they are shown the video of the other person, just on a wall, showing very, very strong opinions on something that is exactly the opposite of what that person has been thinking or where they stand. And after they've seen the videos, they say, all right, now go over to the cooler that is sitting here. Open it up. And there's a couple bottles of beer in there. And they said, what you can do now, you can take these two bottles of beer, put them at the bar, open them up, and have a conversation about what you just saw, or you can leave. And every one of them, because they had gotten to know a person a little bit outside of their opinions, sat down and talked about it. Great marketing for beer, but a great message too, that our opinions, though some are really strong, and I have trouble sometimes having conversations with people who have such an opinion that is so different than mine. But it's important that we have conversations with one another. We have to have conversations with one another. These two, Mary and Cleopas, didn't have all of that baggage going on, but they still had conversations. They showed hospitality. They saw a human being. Now, in the middle of that, the conversation was a little bit spicy, I guess you could say. They said, after Jesus asked them, "What's been going on?" They said, "What rock have you been living under? You haven't heard about what's happened to Jesus." Of course, during their conversation with the person that they thought was a stranger, Jesus said something similar to them. He said something like, "What rock have you been living under that you didn't understand what the prophets have been telling you? Let me tell you some more." Sometimes I think we're happy to live under a rock and not have conversations with people because we don't like their opinions. We start with the opinion and we forget that we have a person in front of us. Or maybe we, with social media, there's all these different ways to be upset. Sometimes we have conversations, but sometimes we just close it up and say, I just can't read anything else about what, insert the derogatory word about the person or organization or politician, whatever they've said or done, is doing. It's really less stressful to do that. To not know much about anything. So I wonder if we ever miss things because we just don't want to know. I just can't. I don't want to know. Do we ever miss things because we're really not looking to understand because we have decided the way it is and no one else is allowed to have an opinion about it? Well, Jesus had more to say. Not just on this day. He had more to say throughout the days before he was taken up into the clouds. I wonder, are we still working hard to understand and act on Jesus' teachings, or have we decided this is it? I think we're capable of missing the big picture. Very capable. And when we stop having conversations, we miss that big picture. We miss, what rock were you living under that you didn't understand what the prophets have been telling you? Let me tell you some more, Jesus said to Cleopas and the other disciple. He told them more about what he was about. Keep on walking along the way as the disciples. He kept walking with them as they arrived at their village. And they loved the conversation so much with this stranger that they begged him to stay and eat with them. And he did. And when they ate with him, that's when they realized it was Jesus. Breaking of the bread. Jesus. Of course, then he vanished. I don't know what to do with that part there. He vanished from their sight. Was he a ghost? Was he an apparition of some kind? Could he just do that? Star Trek stuff? I don't know. I can't explain that part at all, so I won't. So I'll explain something different. Here's some big picture stuff about St. Paul's. By extension, the United Church of Christ and our predecessors. We have been early in so many areas over the last 100+ years. First act of civil disobedience with the Boston Tea Party. That's us. We're the Boston Tea Party people. First in modern times to ordain a person of color. That's us. First to ordain a woman. That's us. I know that there's some parts to the story that don't paint as rosy a picture of us. The person of color who was ordained in the 1700s, he was a very light-skinned guy who could pass for not really a person of color. The first woman who was ordained, we did that, but then she couldn't get a job. So she became a Unitarian. But we've been early on these issues, on these places where things, you know, have become sort of just the way it is. Not with every church, not in every denomination, not with every religion. The UCC and our predecessors started the first school for the deaf. We had the first integrated anti-slavery society, the first to ordain an openly gay man, the first denomination to support full marriage equality. And all of these things, like them or not, we have done all of these things in the name of the big picture of loving God and showing love, care, and attention to one another. That's what it's always been about. And none of us have all the answers. But we do have the ability to live in peace and kindness and love with one another, whether we have the answers or even agree what the questions are. Because we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey in our faith in Jesus. Sometimes we're really clueless, living under a rock about what's really going on. Sometimes we encounter Jesus and we're not really aware of it. Sometimes when we stop to contemplate what's been going on, we see it. God is with us on this imperfect but necessary journey of faith. So, my brothers and sisters, are we willing to keep our eyes and our minds open? Are we willing to continue to live in love on our continuing journey? Are we willing to have conversations? Not just within the church, across the board. There are people we all disagree with. There are people we all agree with. We need to have conversations with everyone. And I hope people who were on opposite sides of will have conversations too. Or are we going to let other things keep us from being a people of welcome and attention, hospitality, love, and kindness? I hope not. And maybe we need a tangible way to express this. Maybe just calling someone up and saying, we need to have a conversation, isn't going to work. But how about something that is here in our Bible reading today? What did they do? They traveled along. They said, please come and eat with us. And they broke bread. So let's make bread. To make some. Maybe get a great sourdough starter. Maybe get a premix. And use a bread maker. Maybe get a frozen loaf and bake it in the oven. Get a gluten-free loaf. Get an unleavened loaf. Get the kind of bread that you can eat and the kind of bread that you could share. Make some bread. Bring it to someone. I don't know who. Bring it to a neighbor. A friend, a relative, maybe a stranger. I haven't done this with bread before, but I do remember several years ago when I was working at the church in Salmonok, there was corn. We're getting close to corn season, but we still got a couple months. But there were people in the church who grew corn. They had feed corn, but they also had sweet corn. And these people didn't necessarily sell the corn, a little bit of it. But they would say to me, Kirk, just come over to our house, pull up in the driveway, and go into the field and break off whatever you want and then eat it. So I did. Fresh sweet corn. I mean, when you buy it from the farm stand, it's pretty fresh. When you buy it at the store, it's reasonably fresh. When you took it and broke it off the stalk and then took it home and started cooking it, it's really fresh and it tastes different than even what you get at the farm stand. So I took this corn. I had bags and bags of it. I don't know, probably got like 40 ears more than once, but and I would go up to neighbors in the neighborhood I lived in, and I didn't know these people, and we didn't have great conversations, but I do remember knocking on the door with a bag of sweet corn, and I just knock, would you like some sweet corn? Yes. With a smile, a neighborly giggle, and they were good neighbors. And we did get to know each other, some of them, a little bit more, just because of a little gesture like that. So, you can't do sweet corn, so make some bread. Give it to anyone. Offer hospitality. Be a person of welcome, attention, hospitality, love, and kindness. And remember the story of the two disciples and Jesus. And what happened in the breaking of the bread. Amen.